You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to the On the Fin Side podcast with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as finfanatic.com and the Fan Sided Network. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul's fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. Paul, I didn't think I would be seeing your face here again today after we wrapped up the Dolphins' win over the Patriots yesterday. It looked like we're going to have a really good taste in our mouth heading into the offseason. And we get some unexpected news today. Brian Flores is out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Certainly not something, at least I was expecting here today.
I wasn't expecting it today. I truly wasn't. But the more I sit back with it, the more I spin it, the more I'm okay with it. Because one of the things I was planning to talk about, and this totally blows up one of the things I was planning to talk about, was that I would have liked to see the Dolphins take and do what they initially tried to do with Brian Flores and get someone like Jim Caldwell to come in and be a coaching advisor for him this offseason, because there were so many moments this season, and I know I talked about them on our breakdown yesterday, where I felt like the coaching failed this team. Now, this is a team that there were some definite holes in the roster. Don't get me wrong in any way, shape, or form. I understand there are holes in the roster. I can see the plan to try to fill those this offseason and the setup to try to fill those this offseason. But things like not utilizing the defense that made your defense special last season until you're 1-7 are unforgivable to me. It's not being able to have a blocking scheme that accounts for a defensive end on a pass play is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I would call it stupid at 9U football. Not having a game plan for the weather. Stupid. And trying to, like, Tua didn't play a great game against Tennessee, but you know what? They didn't have a very good game plan at all for Tennessee. They got away from the zero blitz a lot. They tried to pass the ball in rain and freezing weather, and oh no, the ball slipped out a few times trying to pass it 90% of the downs. Go figure. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, I have gotten progressively angrier throughout the day after hearing Flores was fired, and I'll take the understanding part and the I don't understand what the heck they're doing part on this. Number one, just to put it as simply as I can, I think Brian Flores is better at his job than Tua Tagovailoa and Chris Greer are at their jobs as we sit here today. And that is hard for me to say, but I believe that to be true. And as far as Brian Flores and what he's done, I think there is something to be said about the amount of wins that the Dolphins have been able to put together consecutively over the last 2 years. When the message gets through, it really gets through. And I think there is a major talent deficiency on offense. Once you get past Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, and Robert Hunt, I can't say anyone with a straight face is a starting caliber player. You know, and that factors into it too. And the other thing that I'm upset about, too, is I'm sorry, but you got to fire Chris Greer too. You have to.
We disagree on that. To me,
it makes no sense. And it's not that, you know, I know a lot of people want to fire Chris Greer because they took Tua over Herbert. Okay, fine. But I really, when you fire the head coach like you have in this way, I think the general manager is basically guilty until proven innocent in that scenario. And now the optics of this look really bad to me, because what you're telling this group of available head coaches is, number one, Chris Greer can do no wrong. Can do no wrong. And number two, if you have back-to-back winning seasons for the Miami Dolphins, if you come in here, start over, have back-to-back winning seasons for the Dolphins, we might fire you. So
that's playing with facts, but that's the facts can be used in different directions on that. I mean, it's the things that Stephen Ross said today, and by no means do I love Stephen Ross. But the things he said today about some of the conflict, some of the condescension, it's if any of that's remotely true, if things like the cutting of Jermaine Illuminor were basically because Flo walked in and said, I can't use that guy, which that's speculation, but I can't see Greer cutting Jermaine Illuminor. Flo's like, hell yeah, I'm going to start him. Leaves, doesn't even have an offseason with the Raiders, walks in the door, starts. Skippy Skura gets cut for Dieter, I think, and Dieter is a starting caliber guy, but immediately leaves, walks into a starting job, and does well. The GM can get the guys in the building, but the coaching staff has to say, yay or nay, I'm going to use this guy. Yay or nay, he's going to play for me. Yay or nay, X, Y, Z, and then the GM's going to go, what's he going to do? Force a guy to stay on the roster? Devontae Parker's starting caliber to me. Dieter starting caliber. Tua, I think the jury's out on. But I think Flo has the potential to be the greatest of the three, probably, as far as coach, GM, or quarterback. But I don't think Flo is there. And it speaks volumes that we've gone through how many offensive coordinators, how many defensive coordinators. And Patrick Graham isn't a problem. He's up in New York, the one coach worth anything on the Giants coaching staff. It was just Flo didn't want to work with him anymore. Was the best, the closest thing we got to an explanation. It's there's starting to be a pattern of people not being able to play in the sandbox with Flores.
Yeah, that's been said a lot here today, and there is something to be said about that. I mean, like, why isn't Steve Marshall the offensive line coach anymore? Like, I thought that the offensive line, it wasn't great last year, but I thought they played above their talent level. I definitely can't say that for this year when you promote Lamel Jean-Pierre, who is just tripping over coffee tables on his Zoom interview. Can't even get words out of his mouth. I don't know how he's supposed to be teaching and motivating an offensive line. That brings up an interesting point. Like, take a look at, and I still maintain that the first domino that fell was the offensive line playing so bad this year. It got to a hurt, and it made the first six or seven games on offense unplayable. I look at that and say, who had a first-round grade on Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson, who thought that they could be your starting left tackle in the NFL? Now, the other side of that coin is, maybe they're a little more talented than we give them credit for, and we didn't have a coaching staff to be able to coach them up properly. That's really the argument that goes back and forth.
Well, and you and I both know, we've seen it 1,000 times with players in the NFL, players in any sport. If you've had a coaching carousel, which, sure, Flores remained, but you're spinning new offensive coordinators and systems every year across these guys' faces. You're spinning defensive systems. And the weird part for me is, on the defensive side of the ball, if the Dolphins hadn't run that, and they didn't even fully get back to the psycho defense they ran last year, but they did get to that cover zero look that without the moving around bits, basically. And if they hadn't done it last season and they suddenly stumbled across the gold mine of it in week 9 this year, we'd be talking about a whole different story. Hey, great job, coach, adjusting. Like, whereas this is like, hey, great job, coach, finally realizing this patient, just sit back and watch them defense and react to what they do, isn't working. But, oh, yeah, that thing you did last year with almost the same personnel except for a couple of guys that have been upgraded suddenly is one of the best defenses in the NFL when you just get back to what works.
So to that point, too, I wonder if it is a coincidence that the minute Brian Flores started walking along the sideline with play calling sheets on defense, they started playing more aggressively. That's got to, I don't know, maybe that's just a coincidence, but I tend to believe that Josh Boyer had some responsibilities taken from him this year and Brian Flores was calling a lot more plays. And if that's the case, it was working. And that's another one of my big concerns here. And a lot of players here, Raekwon Davis, Nick Needham, Jerome Baker, based on the reaction on social media, very upset that this happened. And
not DeVante Parker.
Not DeVante Parker. No, he liked a post that said Brian Flores is fired. And
I think this gives us a better chance of retaining Mike Gesicki. Hey, Dolphins fans. The Players Tribune has launched its first ever mental health podcast called Blindsided, hosted by former NHL goalie Corey Hirsch and psychiatrist Dr. Diane McIntosh. This show will share the moments for a variety of athletes when everything changed for them and mental health became the most important focus in their lives. It allows listeners to have an understanding of the different types of mental health challenges that people face. Some of the guests this season include Kevin Love, Paul Bissonnette, and Kurt Warner. We encourage all of you to go out, go to the Players Tribune, and check out the podcast, Blindsided.
I think you might be right on that. And, yeah, there, Flores is a coach where if you're a defensive player and you like to be coached hard, you love Brian Flores. Offensively, I don't see a lot of nice things being said about him. And it's also telling that Tua's trainer said a couple of months ago that you can't even talk to this guy, you know? And there's clearly something going on there between Tua and Flores. Not to mention it's becoming more and more obvious today that Flores was the one driving the bus or pushing for Deshaun Watson, which could be a fireable offense in itself, trying to make that trade for him before the deadline when you know that's not going to happen.
Well, and you, I think you hit on something there too, because I'm thinking back to some of the Zoom interviews I've been on with Tua at times, and the accountability that I've seen him take when he makes mistakes, when other people make mistakes. He's usually the first one to say, that's me, that's on me, that's my fault, and I'm going to work that out and make it better. Like, that's whether you love his skill set or not, that particular skill, he takes ownership of anything that goes wrong on that offense. And for him to basically, there were multiple times the last 2 weeks, including in the win yesterday, where it almost looked like he wanted to just stand up and tell Flores to go F himself. And that says a lot.
Who was saying that? I missed that part.
Watching him on the sidelines at times in both the Tennessee game and the New England game yesterday, it looked like he wanted to stand up and tell Flores to go F himself, and Flores wanted to turn around and tell him to go F himself. There was really bad body language, and maybe it was just a misread, but there was pretty bad body language between the two of them on that sideline. And
yeah, I've picked up on that too. And yeah.
And it's another, suddenly over the last 2 weeks.
And that brings us to Steve Ross. I mean, let me ask you this. Why is it that 10 years ago, we're having this exact same problem between Tony Sperano and Jeff Ireland? Like, why is Steve Ross forcing these arranged GM head coaching marriages? I mean, like, and this is my problem with them not firing Chris Greer, as if Chris Greer has any clout anyway. He shouldn't. When it comes to that, fire both of them. Hire another GM and a head coach. Because what's going to happen? You're going to hire a head coach. And you're probably not going to get the guys you want because of the way that you treated Brian Flores, or at least the optics surrounding how it looks like you treated Brian Flores here. So I don't know. It's the one constant is Steve Ross.
So I do see a lot of similarities between that Steve Ross, Jeff Ireland, Jim Harbaugh, Tony Sperano debacle 10 years ago. And I know you and I had some behind the scenes conversations with folks, et cetera, around that. And basically, and this is, Tony Sperano's a cousin of a family friend, or was a cousin of a family friend. But it got to the point after that, which rightfully so, Steve Ross basically put his foot in his mouth and thought he could just slip away and, you know, talk, see other people, and went out to talk to Harbaugh. And Sperano took it real personal, and he put Ireland in a weird situation. And Sperano is basically turning around, grunting at Ireland if he says hi in the hallway, not speaking to Steve Ross. And I don't care who you are, like, and I don't care what the owner of your company does, you can't walk around basically just grunting at people and refusing to speak to them, especially people that are above you and that you have to work with. That doesn't work. And I will say this situation is a little different. Like, I don't love Steve Ross, but I do like the fact that he turned around today and said, look, I looked at everything. I looked at what people were saying. This was my call. This wasn't, he's a great coach, but personality-wise, this was not working between him and Greer and him and other people, and he was the constant. And he basically said, this was my decision and solely my decision that this could not continue. We're in a position to win and win soon, and we need to get somebody in here to do that. Now, this coaching search is going to be very telling and very huge in that regard. I don't want to coach, and that's one of the reasons why I was very happy he came out and said, I'm not taking Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh to me would be a guy that comes in and tries to tear it down to the studs and do everything his way and let's reset crap for another 4 years. This is a roster that isn't losing a lot of key people this offseason. This is a roster that has $76 million in cap space as we stand today. This is a roster that has been positioned to be able to go after the deepest position in this free agent class, which is offensive line. And you know, it's... They're set up well with the draft as well overall. So again, this is something that could work very well if they get the right guy and they do it now.
Yeah, it's going to be an important head coaching search. And Aiden and Chad, thank you very much for your contribution. He asks too, is this down to Ross trying to win now due to his age?
I don't think
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he made a, I don't think firing Flores is a reckless decision. I do go back and forth on actually firing Flores. It's not that. It's not firing both of them at the same time and restarting. I don't think Chris Greer has earned that right.
But I also don't think Chris Greer has earned being fired. And that's where it's when Miami got out of their own way coaching-wise, they won a lot of games. And when they didn't get out of their own way coaching-wise, they lost a lot of games. And Chris Greer has set this up in such a way, like I said, for this coming offseason, we got a handful of guys that really should be re-signed. We're not losing a lot of key guys, and we're positioned well to supplement where we need it. And that's a big thing. I mean, I can't recall ever seeing a player sit at the podium, get asked about, so did you guys have a game plan for the weather, or did you at least adjust to the weather that was predicted for the game that happened during the game, and literally just lean forward and go, no, and just sit back. Like, not expand on it, just the tone, the face, and just the one-word answer said everything I needed to hear, and it was something you and I said on our post-game review.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And if you're an offensive player, you probably didn't like Flores because the offense wasn't playing well. And defensively, you probably loved him because Flores is a defensive guy and they were being successful on the defensive side of the ball.
But you probably didn't the first 8 weeks of the year.
No, but then again, too, did Flores take over a lot of the play calling defensively?
What took him 8 weeks?
Yeah, to maybe nudge Josh Boyer out of the way. But right, I don't know right. if that I that's more of a feeling I have, not necessarily something I know for a fact. And speaking of that, the next Dolphins head coach here, I mean, I think it's incredibly important that you do keep Josh Boyer and Gerald Alexander. I mean, I thought over a total of 2 years, Josh Boyer's done a really good job as defensive coordinator. But more importantly, you've got Byron Jones and Xavier Howard at cornerback, and that's the strength of your defense there. You better not be getting one of these defensive coaches that plays this off-ball zone cornerback technique here, because if you do, you might as well just get rid of Byron Jones. You may as well get rid of Xavier Howard, because that's not them playing to their strength. So I think it's important personnel-wise to continue to have the same continuity on defense.
I do as well. And there are a number of candidates out there. I just want to run through a couple I don't want. I was very happy to see Steve Ross say today, we are no on Jim Harbaugh, because I don't want him. And I apologize, I made the list on my phone, so I got to look at that here. Jim Caldwell, I feel like he's too old. I like him more in an advisory type of role. Josh McDaniels is a hell no, hard pass for me. Matt Patricia, nope. Byron Leftwich, I think he could get there, but I don't think he's there yet. Hackett from Green Bay, the offensive coordinator. Oh, wow, you look good with Aaron Rodgers, two stud running backs, and Davante Adams. Good for you. Like, I'm good there. Daboll's a maybe. I know they requested permission. Jerod Mayo, I wouldn't look at as a head coach, but if they do make a change of defensive coordinator, I'd actually be a little bit willing to look at that as a possibility. I also forgot to write down, he used to be a linebacker, D'Amico Ryans. I would flirt with the idea of him as a DC, but I wouldn't flirt with him at head coach quite yet. He's been phenomenal as a linebackers coach, and I think as a defensive coordinator at this point. So,
okay, so Paul, who are your top three guys that you not necessarily you think would get hired for the Dolphins job, but that you want?
I would take a look. Eric Bieniemy is a huge one for me. Have him come in, run the offense. You can look at one of those guys for DC. If Boyer does stay, you know the defensive side of the ball is already handled at that point, unless what you said has some credence there as far as Flo having to push him out of the way and run it the right way. Or Bieniemy just comes in and basically says, look, you are doing it this way, or I will remove you of your duties and find somebody who will. And I'm good with that. Like, it's, you know, I thought about Todd Bowles, but actually I'm going to go back to a familiar name here, Patrick Graham. I loved Patrick Graham. I was pissed when Flores ran him out of the building for reasons I still don't understand, because the defense was playing well under Graham. And he's my one defensive guy on this list. And then I kind of flirt back and forth with Luke Fickle of the Cincinnati Bearcats and Matt Campbell from Iowa State. Two college guys I really like that I think are ready to make the jump.
Got it. Okay, no, that's a good list. I was thinking about Patrick Graham too, but I think that's just too similar. And it would be him going from the Giants to the Dolphins to the Giants back to the Dolphins in a span of 5 years would be unheard of. Eric Bieniemy.
I'm okay with unheard of, though. That's the thing. Like, it's
it would be weird, I would say.
Weird only lasts till you start winning.
Yeah. I think Graham will get a head coaching job somewhere, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt Campbell from Iowa State. That's somebody that's been talked about as a head coach in the NFL. I personally would want to stay away from the first time NFL head coaches, but I think there is some upside to doing that too. So my three were one that the Dolphins, just as about an hour ago, have gotten permission to interview. That's Brian Daboll. And if in this whole thing here, again, I don't think the Dolphins are going to have a quarterback other than Tua. I don't think they're going to get Deshaun Watson. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, is either going to stay in Green Bay or he's going to retire. You just never know what's going to go on with him. But I don't see him coming to a place like Miami, which, you know, the personnel in Miami really doesn't fit his skill set anyway. Or Russell Wilson. You're probably going to have to trade 3 first-rounders for Russell Wilson, who's 34 years old. When they look at all that, I think the best and clearest pathway, go sign 2 offensive tackles, hire Brian Daboll, and give it 1 more year with Tua. And hope that instead of being, I don't know, the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, which I think he is now, have him be with more protection. Pray that he's a top 10 to top 12 quarterback at the end of the year, which I think after the Panthers and Giants game, when he had 4 straight games with a quarterback rating over 100, I think it started to look like it was within reach. So protect him, give him a whole offseason with Brian Daboll as coach. Brian Daboll was Tua's offensive coordinator back at Alabama. So Brian Daboll's number one. Number two for me is Kevin O'Connell, and that's the Rams quarterback's coach. And you see a lot of guys falling off that Sean McVay tree recently, Brandon Staley, who have been successful. And Kevin O'Connell's been a really big name here in NFL circles as that quarterback's coach. And, you know, I could see him being, you know, the next Sean McVay type. And third, it's a distant third, but I said Byron Leftwich. You know, even though Byron Leftwich has Tom Brady as his quarterback, even before Brady arrived, the Bucs also had a top 10 offense with Jameis Winston. So
yep.
I think he's got a great personality too. I still have the memory of him in college 20 years ago when in that I think it was a bowl game where he got hit and his teammates carried him down the field and he finished the game, even though he probably shouldn't have. So those are my top 3 guys, but Paul, who do you think is going to be the Dolphins head coach?
You know, one thing I just want to comment on yours real quick. I do like that list. I would say, and I want to bring it up just because M. Jones brought up in chat, one dark horse name as well for the head coaching gig would be Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
I was thinking about that too. He's only 32, but yeah, I mean,
he would be great for Tua. It's the way he's able to design personnel, and he'd be great for guys like Gesicki, Waddle, Parker, to really be able to design offenses and packages to take advantage of their skill sets in ways we haven't seen with the offense, and possibly be able to do the things with the defense. It's just, can he command the locker room at 32 years old without a head coach above him? And that's the curiosity I have.
He looks like somebody who I gave an atomic wedgie to in high school. That's what he looks like. But no,
that's Zach Taylor as well, though. So, you know. And he's a player.
Yeah, and Zach Taylor's another name too. Of you know, him and Zach Taylor, Brandon Staley, 2 guys from the Sean McVay tree, just like Kevin O'Connell. And on my notes here, you probably can't see it, but I actually had Kellen Moore as the 3rd guy, and I scratched it out and put Byron Leftwich. Yeah, I mean, I think there's significant upside, and in terms of working with Tua, you know, Kellen Moore had to get into the NFL and got a couple of starts, even though physically he had no business doing that. So. He certainly would understand how to work with a quarterback who has physical limitations. I mean, look, Dak Prescott with the Cowboys has some physical limitations as well. So that could be an interesting transition. Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to go back to Kellen Moore for my 3rd guy. You talked me into it.
I like it. I like it a lot. But at the end of the day, I have a hunch it's going to be Eric Bieniemy. I think he's going to finally get that break he should have gotten 4 years ago at this point. And I think he's going to be good for the Dolphins. And if he can come in, if he and Greer can sit down, hash out how they want things to work out, from what I understand, Bieniemy is a good guy to work with as well. And that's going to probably go a little ways in this coaching search because it's, you know, yeah, but I think it's going to end up being Bieniemy. I think Doug Peterson sounds like a nice thing. I know, wow, Dan Marino wants the guy he used to work with is the rumor out there. I like Dan. I love Dan. He's such a special part of my childhood. let's leave the coaching assessments to the people that do coaching assessments, though.
Yeah, I am not. I'm not big on Doug Peterson. Yeah, I know he won a Super Bowl.
We have guys that can't manage their weight as it is. I don't need the guy that just constantly buys ice cream for his players.
Was that a thing?
Oh, my God. If you haven't seen this, all right. So go out, go to Josh Houts' channel on Twitter, and he's got a video clip together. I don't know if he made it or just found it and brought it, but it's literally just like 25 times just short clips of like, all right, guys, you're going to watch this video, and then I got ice cream ready for you in the other room. I bought you guys some ice cream. I'm treating y'all to ice cream today. Like, just literally just like 25 different occasions of him like, hey, I'm treating you guys to ice cream today. Like, God, Solomon Kinley doesn't need people buying him ice cream every week.
Yeah, that could be a problem. I want somebody with a presence. And
not somebody that brings presents.
Yeah, the guy that I think is going to be the Dolphins' next head coach. Not this is just a hunch and just a guess. You may as well get your barf bag out here. My prediction is Dennis Allen, and here's why: is a couple years ago, he was runner up to Brian Flores as far as he really impressed the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I look at. I mean, you've got Reggie McKenzie working for the Dolphins, and Reggie McKenzie was with the Raiders between 2012 and 2014. Dennis Allen was the head coach. He went 8-28. How do you even let the guy in the building to get an interview? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Now, having said that, with the Saints, they use a lot of the same concepts on defense that Brian Flores does. You know, they like leaving cornerbacks out on an island and putting a lot of faith in their defensive backs. They don't blitz as much as the Dolphins, but still they, you know, with the way they treat the secondary, there could be some overlap there. I don't think he has a presence at all. I think he is destined to be a career coordinator as opposed to a head coach. I look at what he brings defensively. And a lot of times when you fire somebody like Brian Flores, who was really a steamroller and couldn't work with people, sometimes you go to the complete opposite side and you get a true players coach. And that's what Dennis Allen would be. I wouldn't like the hire, but if it's not Brian Daboll, I have a feeling they're going to start looking in that direction.
I think it's possible, but you know, end of the day, I want somebody that's going to work with the blueprint that's already there. And maybe if we get a coach in that's a first-time head coach, we can work with him in getting Caldwell in as an advisory role. I don't think Caldwell's going to be a head coach again. I think that's just
I don't think – I don't think Caldwell's going to be around, period. It just – I mean, haven't we done that already? Didn't he leave? And no explanation? Just completely Will Fullered it.
And no, he had medical issues. That was by all reports, he had some serious medical issues, and that's something I've heard outside of Dolphin circles, not just.
No, that's right. He did have medical issues.
Yeah. So I mean, having him in an advisory role and setting it up the right way, if he's beyond his medical issues, he's what, 70 years old now? I mean, 75. So let him be in an advisory role, somewhat on his terms, and I'm okay with that. But I don't want him truly running anything, but just like, hey, you're a consultant that we can reach out to when we need to. If you see something you want to talk about, give us a call. Here's $1 million, buddy. Have a good day.
I was really excited to get Jim Caldwell on board the first time, and it was a shame when he left right before the season. Someone in chat here, Tyler Orion, brought up, and this is something good for you to know here, Paul, is if Eric Bieniemy were to be the coach of the Dolphins, then that is Deshaun Watson's number one. Deshaun Watson loves Eric Bieniemy. In fact, the big reason they had the falling out with the Texans is because Deshaun Watson wanted Bieniemy to be the head coach, and the Texans didn't give him even an interview. So,
well, if the Texans hire Flores,
but that's a whole different point. That's a whole different story. What's that?
If the Texans hire Flores, which their front office has connections to him, so long as they can promise Flores they're going to keep that racist old owner away from him, maybe that's a moot point. Flores gets his guy without even having to trade for him and gets to be a head coach again like that.
Grandizer said Caldwell's 66. Wow, I could have swore he was older than that.
Thanks, Grandy.
So we'll see. We'll see. And right now the Dolphins have one coaching candidate that they've been granted access to speak with. I'm not sure when. And that is Brian Daboll. And it'll be telling there too, because if Daboll wants to work with Tua and is still as crazy about Tua as he was back in college, it should be a no-brainer. Why wouldn't he want to come here? But if he doesn't come here, that's a more telling sign that either he doesn't want to work with this organization, or, hey, yeah, I saw Tua in college and he was great, but am I going to hitch my wagon to him if my career is on the line? I hope he does, you know, and I hope it works out, because nobody knows what Tua Tagovailoa is better at or is good at better than Brian Daboll. So we will see. Paul, anything you want to add on here tonight?
No. Like, I mean, I think Bieniemy could look at this, and if he's able to retain this defensive style and retain Boyer to run it, if he's going to run it the right way, and know that basically he's just got to get Tua to be okay for this team to go somewhere, and keep Tua upright for this team to go somewhere. And if he already knows that Greer's willing to go out and spend the money to put some guys on either side of Tua at those bookend positions to be something. Absolutely. And we don't know truly which guys on this roster were Flores pounding the table for him. I will say it probably means Landon Roberts is gone, most likely. I looked at him as possibly being chased because I know Flores likes the guy, but I think that may be a death knell for him. And who knows if Flores was like, I want Austin Jackson, or whichever offensive line coach he had at the time was like, I want Austin Jackson. You know, who knows if Lemuel St. Pierre tried to say something else and they thought he said Eichenberg, like, because we just don't know what incoherency mumbled out of his mouth at the time. Like, it's, you know, but it's just, we don't truly know that. It's like Tony Sperano pounding the table for Joe. Was it Sperano or Philbin pounded the table for Michael Agnew? Like, it's
Philbin, yeah.
It was Philbin. Yeah, like, it's, you know, Philbot.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, I go back to this just to keep it simple. The 2021 Dolphins had a terrible strategy of going into the year with Tua behind the worst offensive line in the NFL. And I said it in August that was my biggest fear heading into the season, and it was worse than I could have ever imagined. And when you look at the personnel decisions that are made, you had at least three offensive linemen, Eichenberg, Austin Jackson, Jesse Davis, that were unplayable this year. And when Dieter was out of the lineup and Austin Reiter was there at center, he was unplayable. So it was a bad strategy to begin with. So you said keeping the quarterback upright. The value of getting two really good tackles in free agents, I hope they get Teron Armstead and Trent Brown and pay whatever they have to get them, is that when you do that, you're going to actually know about Tua and you're going to give him a full season. Until then, it's going to be this, well, if he had a better offensive line, he would be in the
right
work. No, you know, we've got to find out.
No, absolutely. And that's the path of least resistance here for this franchise, is for Tua to be even just okay enough. Even just okay enough. And we haven't gotten to truly analyze that yet. We're basically just over a season into his career at this point, with the games he's been able to play. And it's... there's a lot... I mean, and don't get me wrong, too. I'll go back to coaching again. they didn't run the ball enough to keep defenses honest. So they were just able to pin their ears back. And 9 times out of 10, if you guessed pass, you were right.
Yeah. So we'll see. It's going to be what a weird first day of the offseason. Can't wait for all the Twitter Dolphins fans food fights all throughout the season. Just going to sit back and enjoy.
Let me add one thing here, though, Kat, real quick. Just because I know you've seen it, I know I've seen it. I've had a lot of conversation with friends and people I barely know and things like that today. Guys, when you go out on Twitter, or if you go on a lot of these YouTube channels, one thing I'm really proud of that you and I do, Kat, is, and you know I don't toot our horns very often, we don't just throw a bunch of crap at the wall, see what sticks, and then go, see, I said that. Like, and don't ignore everything around it. Like, it's don't go falling for a whole bunch of unsubstantiated rumors and people claiming sources, and they talk to some guy in a grass skirt in a back alley that came out of a hidden door in the wall and said, look, this is what's going on with everything. Don't tell anybody I told you this. And, you know, like, stupid, like, calling them with a voice changer and saying goofy little things like that. Like, just keep an open mind, try to look for facts, and don't just buy in on rumors and hearsay, because there's so much of that today. It's insane.
It is, and that's why I look for patterns in what I see out there. And here's the pattern. With Steve Ross's owner, he constantly creates dysfunctional environments. And then I'm reminded of a quote from Moneyball here. I want to make sure I get this right here. Is the one thing about having money is that it buys a lot of things. One of which is it gives you the luxury to disregard what other people think. That's Steve Ross to me. And now here we are. And if you look at the press clippings from 4 years ago, which when you were talking about Adam Gase and Mike Tannenbaum in a dysfunctional front office, now here we are 4 years later, talking about a dysfunctional front office, people yelling at each other, like, get your house in order. But do things the right way.
It sounds like there was one guy doing it, and they and this time everybody stepped up and said, nah, he's got to go.
I think people, when Brian Flores leaves the building, are going to start untucking their shirts a little bit too. And that's
picking
the other
gum
side
wrappers on their own.
Yeah. We'll see. So that's going to do it for our breakdown here of Brian Flores no longer with the Miami Dolphins. The coaching search will continue. We'll keep you updated on that. We're going to try to still do a couple of shows a week here. We will do at least one show a week and any more shows when something like this pops up too. Thank you all for joining us here on such short notice. We love you guys. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, the FinFanatic.com website, the FanSided Network, and all of our other social media outlets. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.